For music. I don't know about you, but tonight we're going to be looking at an aspect of worship. And the music tonight has actually led right into it. 315, Near or Still Near. We don't often sing that second verse of the song, I don't think. But nothing I bring, not as an offering to Jesus, my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. And as I thought about that as I was singing it, that really is a prerequisite for what we are getting ready to talk about. So if you would, take your Bibles, please. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this evening as our beginning spot, and then we're going to really look at quite a few verses. But we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How many of you have already eaten your evening meal or afternoon, late afternoon meal? How many of you are already thinking about what you're going to eat tonight? So think about the action of eating. It's something we do very, very frequently, but it's not something, once you've done it, you really think about. You pick up your food with a fork, a spoon, your hands, put it in your mouth, chew it, swallow it, goes down in your stomach, it begins the digestion process, and you forget about it. And you probably aren't really going to think about it again unless something goes bad. But what about your drinks? Have you thought much about what you drink today? I hope most of us have drunk some water. It's kind of necessary for living. If you haven't, you might want to take a minute after the sermon and visit the water fountain. I highly recommend water. It's good for you. But also, drinking. We don't really think a lot about what we're drinking. Some of us like coffee in the morning. How many of you are coffee drinkers? Yep, I know a few of you really like your coffee. How many of you like tea? Yeah? I can go either way depending on the time of day. How about a beverage that has carbonation in it? How many of you, that would be your favorite kind of drink? Now, I'm gonna get into some sketchy territory here. What do you call that beverage? You call it soda? Does anybody here call it soda? Soda? Okay, does anybody call it soda pop? I thought I heard that a second ago. Soda pop? Okay, what about Coke? Does anybody call everything Coke? Okay, how about pop? All right, that seems to be the overwhelming majority of people here, but I'm going to tell you something about myself. I was, for the first 5 years of my life, I grew up in southern Georgia. So I learned how to say some words very interesting ways, including one time, there's a story passed down from my mom that when I was very young, we went up to visit my and my grandmother was flabbergasted that I could say the word C-A-T with two syllables. You figure that one out, cat. That was how I grew up saying the word cat. And obviously that's not how I say it now. But one of the things I learned was the word Coke. So that is how I have always called it. And I believe I'm not the only one in the room that believes that, yes. And so anything else? Strange? Pop, that just gives me the shivers. I don't know why. That's like, that's what you call your dad, not a drink. So, anyway, eating and drinking, those are things we do very frequently without much thought whatsoever. They're intended to be that way because we do them so often. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, I'd like you to look there as we read this verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, Paul addresses the Corinthians and says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That means your meal tonight, that means whatever you call that sparkling beverage that bubbles when you drink it, whatever you drink in the morning or night when you go to bed, coffee, tea, Coke, it needs to be done to the glory of God. And friends, if God is so interested in what we eat and drink, that it must be done to his glory, don't you think that he is also interested in our involvement in church and our worship when it comes to him and how we do that? Tonight, we are going to look not at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as our primary point. We're going to look at 12 and 13 as we examine four biblical principles about glorifying God through the united use of the abilities that the Holy Spirit has given us. And we read that first verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're going to use that as a launching point to give us our first principle. Our first principle is everything that we do, even down to the simplest things like eating and drinking, everything must be done to the glory of God. The principle was given in the context of meat offered to idols. It's at the very end of Paul's addressing that topic in the book of 1 Corinthians. And if we were to read that, we could. It'd be a whole different message. The applications you draw from it are very wide, but they're necessary. We're not looking at that tonight, just briefly. The people in Corinth had a question: can we eat meat after it has been offered to an idol and then resold? You see, when we've been in Thailand, we've noticed the little statues that they put on spirit houses and the red Fanta and whatever else, the garlands that they offer to their spirits, their false gods. Well, the next day, those are all gone. And if you stay up late enough, you'll see a trash man come by and collect them and get rid of them or recycle them to be sold again. And fact is, the Corinthians, when they offered their meat to the idols, they recycled it too. They just took it back out to the store, resold it, frequently at a cheaper price. And Paul addresses that issue of whether or not they can. It was a real problem. It was a difficulty in the Corinthian church. And at the end of his conversation, he says, eating and drinking must be done to the glory of God. That's where we find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But our primary interest is just to look at that principle. Everything we do must be done to the glory of God. Building off of this verse in the next 3 to 4 chapters, chapters 11 through 14, Paul begins to discuss the proper worship that glorifies God. And that's what we're going to look at. Chapter 11, the first half, discusses worship in the context of men and women, their relationships and their headship to Christ, and then the man being the head of the woman. The second half discusses worship in the context of the Lord's Supper. In chapter number 12, Paul discusses worship in the context of using our spiritual gifts. That's the main focus of our message this evening. Chapter 13 discusses love or charity as the ultimate display of consideration for others. Chapter 14 then continues on with speaking in tongues and how it should be done in the local church, and it gives rules that govern it, specifically directed to that day. Tonight, 12 and 13 are our focal point as we explore our topic, a unified body. But before we move on, I want to really hammer that first principle because it's where we are building off of for our whole sermon. Everything we do must be done to the glory of God. Now let's move on to our second principle. The method of our glorifying worship in the church, using our spirit-given talents and abilities to build up other Christians. So as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read quite a few verses here. I'm going to stop from time to time and make a few remarks as we go through. But our first principle in chapter 12 is that each Christian has specific abilities given by the Holy Spirit. Let's start reading in chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Let's stop there for a moment. If this is so important that Paul takes valuable time to say, this is something I don't want you to be ignorant about, I think that that importance still continues on to this present day. If ignorance is a bad thing, it's something we need to pay attention to as well. For this reason, God allowed Paul's message here in the book of Corinthians to be recorded and passed down for thousands of years. We have it today. We can read it. We can change our lives to be more in reflection of what we see in the Bible. So verse number 1, we see that this whole topic we're going to be discussing tonight is very important. It's one that we cannot be ignorant of if we want to be worshiping God correctly. Ye know, continuing in verse 2, that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same, one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As we've read these verses, we've seen that there are a wide variety of gifts that God can give to the people in the body of Christ. No matter what kind of gifts he gives, no matter what you think that you have, they all come from the Holy Spirit. The source of our gifts, our spiritual gifts, is all the same. It is given by the Holy Spirit. But also, I want you to notice that it's specifically given for a purpose. Let's think about that for a minute. If I'm building a house, or I think about our construction project here in the back, not that long ago, myself, I could have, maybe, gone through and dug out the foundation, poured the concrete, finished the concrete, framed the walls, put the drywall on, painted the drywall, put in the flooring, built the next level, gone up, and done it all myself. But that wouldn't have been very effective. There are people that have specialized in each type of construction and who are more or less experts in their field that I can bring in, have them do the work for me, and they'll do a much better job than I ever could. They have, to bring our illustration back, they have gifts. They have abilities. Now, the Holy Spirit has given each person in this body an ability. Each person in this body has an ability that is necessary for the body to function properly. You see, Paul said that we are building on the foundation of the apostles. In order to build a perfect spiritual building, there is one master builder who decides what gifts are necessary for a specific time, a specific purpose, and then he gives those gifts. And since the Holy Spirit is the one who is responsible, we can be sure, since he is God, that he will give exactly what is needed. Incidentally, that's why when we read through the list of gifts, the sign gifts, as they are called, in verses 9 and 10, the gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, speaking of adding revelation to the Bible, and discerning of, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, these sign gifts that are mentioned here are no longer given by the Holy Spirit. They were intended for an authentication of the gospel to people who are outside the church. Now that the gospel has been accepted widely, the Holy Spirit gives gifts of a different kind. He gives gifts that are intended to build inside the church, to build up the body. He also gives those that are necessary for reaching others, but building the body is the primary focus. So now we'll see more gifts like music, like teaching, like admonishing, encouraging. I think of Barnabas. He was called the son of consolation because he encouraged Paul. He took Mark after Paul had rejected him from his ministry. He brought him up to a point later in life where Paul looked back at Mark and said, "Bring him to me because he is profitable for me for the ministry." Barnabas was an encourager. That's a gift. Empathizing. Empathizing means to feel what other people feel. Do you share other people's joys, share their sorrows? Giving, supporting, caring. Each person has been created uniquely by God to meet a specific gift that is necessary in the body. I think of even like those of us who have been up here this summer preaching in the evening services. Most of us, we enjoy doing it. But there are others, if asked, would be so uncomfortable. They just don't want to be up in front of people. That's not their gift. Their gift is elsewhere. They are perfectly capable of exercising their gifts. And that's fine. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives gifts to different people to do different things in the church so that the body can function better for it. And we can be thankful for the Holy Spirit and His careful distribution of gifts through the body. Let's look again at verse 11. But these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man. Dividing to whom? Every man. I've been assuming this point, but now we're really going to emphasize it. Every man means everyone. It's not just me. It's not just my dad. It's everybody in the church. Every single person who is part of the body of Christ receives these gifts as the Holy Spirit thinks is proper. And then God expects him to use these gifts. So far, we have seen three aspects of our spiritual gifts in these first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 12. They are specifically given. That means the Holy Spirit intentionally chooses the gifts that he gives us. Second, they are given by the Holy Spirit. He's the source of our gifts. And third, everyone, each Christian, has at least one gift. Now, before we move on, let's review our two principles. The first one, do you remember it? You don't have to say it. I'll say it. Everything that we do must be done for the glory of God. And our second principle, each Christian has abilities, has specific abilities given by God, given by the Holy Spirit. And our third principle, each Christian's abilities are vital for the body of Christ to function properly. Let's continue on in 1 Corinthians 12, reading in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. All Christians are made a part of the body of Christ as soon as they believe. There's one body, but just like your body is composed of a very wide spectrum of members, individual members, like a finger, a toe, an arm, a head, some being more important than others in the functioning of your body, but they are all necessary for your body to be complete. So the body of Christ is formed of many different members that have different responsibilities. The eye is responsible for seeing in our bodies. The ear is responsible for hearing. The mouth for eating, for speaking. The feet for balancing as you walk or stand. On the body, there are some people who have been gifted in the area of teaching, some for preaching, some for helping, some for administrating, and some for other roles. But all, there are perhaps as many different gifts as there are people in the church, but all have been given by the Holy Spirit, and all are necessary, just like each member of your body is necessary. Let's continue reading in verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So each member's ability in your body is vital for the body to function properly. An ear cannot look at the responsibilities of the eye and say, oh, well, I'm not important. I'm just going to leave the head. It doesn't work that way. Your feet can't look at the rest of the body and walk off and leave it. because they're not the hands and they can't hold things. Your skeleton, despite what you might see on Halloween, can't jump out of your body and go running around without the skin and internal organs. It just doesn't work that way. It's all necessary. Each member's ability is vitally important for the body to function properly. You see the analogy. The body of Christ is composed of many members. Many, many members. We represent a large number of members here in this body. And the Holy Spirit has given each of us a gift specifically designed to complement all the others in the body so that the work of the ministry is done most effectively. So, one example that came to me. Have you ever fallen asleep with your arm underneath you and then woken up a couple hours later and wondered where your arm was? And then when you roll over, it's like you're swinging a pendulum or something. You have no feeling in your arm. It's a feeling I don't like. It's happened to me a couple times. It's kind of unnerving until you get your feeling back in the arm. You feel when other parts of your body are not right. If you stub your toe while walking in the dark, you don't continue on without expressing some kind of an interest in your toe. You don't smash your finger with a hammer and then keep working like nothing happened without doing something about your finger. There is a purpose for that illustration. When one isolated part of your body is in pain or does not feel well, the rest of your body does not function properly either. So when I was in high school, I injured my knee and my ankle on my right leg in the same year of basketball. And I walked with a limp for a while because my knee was really swollen, my ankle was really swollen. Wasn't very fun. And it took me a long time after that to figure out that I'd changed my step completely, even after I thought I was healed. Until this summer, when my knee really started hurting again, and I was walking wrong the whole time. I had to consciously change how I walked to help my knee feel better. All that because my knee and my ankle were hurting, and I was trying to take the pain off of them. You're always conscious of what one part of your body feels. Are you conscious of what another part of the body of Christ is feeling? When they are happy, do you feel happy for them? When they are sad, do you feel the sorrow? That's part of being part of the body. If any part of the body feels estranged from the rest because other members are too proud to acknowledge it, then the body is not acting as a whole. That's not how Christ intended his church, his body, to function. He intended them to be a unified group of people. A schism will develop if there is this division, and it will hamper the purpose of the body, which is, what was our first principle? To glorify God. So let's look back through our principles again before we move on to the last one that we're going to talk about tonight. First principle, everything must be done for the glory of God. Our second principle, each Christian has specific abilities given by the Holy Spirit. Third, each Christian's abilities are vital for the body to function properly. And as we move on to our last point, our last principle, we're going to come back to that basis that we jumped off of, glorifying God in our worship. Our fourth principle, as we continue on in chapter 12, is the diversity of our spiritual gifts binds us together for God-glorifying worship. The diversity of our spiritual gifts binds us together for God-glorifying worship. Let's continue reading in verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism, that means a division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. He winds up this teaching on the body of Christ, once again emphasizing, you are the body of Christ. individually, you are a member of the body of Christ. And the diversity of our spiritual gifts binds us together for God-glorifying worship. It's just like it's a natural thing for your body, if it hurts somewhere, to take care of itself. It should be a natural thing for us as a body to feel for others. If we are part of this body, let's make sure we're acting like it. If someone is hurting, let's be sure we express concern. If someone is rejoicing, let's rejoice with them. Those are our four principles. Everything we do must be done for the glory of God. Each Christian has specific abilities given by the Holy Spirit. Each Christian's abilities are vital for the body to function properly, and the diversity of our spiritual gifts binds us together for God glorifying worship. Now, so far, we've just been walking through the text to see what Paul said about honoring God, glorifying God as a unified body with individual abilities. Now, let's make some applications. I have two. First, use your spiritual gifts to their fullest potential. Taking into account all of our principles that we have learned tonight, what are the gifts that God has given to you? Are you using them? Chances are that you know them, and probably other people actually recognize them too. Are you willing? Sometimes it might be uncomfortable to use them at first until you get more used to them. Are you willing to allow God to push you outside of your comfort zone to use those abilities that He has given you so the work of the body, the work of the church, can go forward? What has God given you the ability to do so that the body of Christ can function more effectively? Maybe you're musical. Well, we've got a music ministry, and I'm sure Brady, all of us who are involved, we'd love to see how you can become involved more as well. Maybe you're not afraid to be in front of people. Well, perhaps you would be a good candidate to begin helping with a Sunday school class. Maybe even if God leads you to do that, take it over sometime. Maybe you are someone who cares about people and empathizes with them. You can pray for people. You can work on encouraging them. Share their pains, share their joys. Maybe you don't have a lot of skills that you can see, but you know how to talk. Well, there's one gift on the list in verse 28. We didn't actually read it. Let's go ahead and read it. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, the ministry of helps. If you can talk, then you can talk to God in prayer. And that is a very helping ministry. It takes a lot of work, but it brings great benefit to the body. Even if you don't think you can do anything else, you can do this one thing. You can help. You can maybe help physically, but if you can't even do that, then you can definitely help in prayer. Maybe God has blessed you with money, allowing you to be generous in the body. And whatever gifts that God has given you, remember, the Holy Spirit has specifically chosen those for our body, because we need them to work properly as a body to accomplish the work of the ministry. How are you using your gifts? I do hope that they're not sitting stale as you refuse to do what God wants you to do. I hope that you will remember the parable of the talents. Remember, in this parable, Jesus says that a master gave talents to his servants. To one he gave 10, to one he gave 5, to another he gave 1. The ones who had 10 and 5, they worked hard. They doubled their talents, and they received blessing and reward. The one who had 1, who did nothing with his talent, suffered loss, even though he had a talent that he could have been using to gain more for the master. Don't let that one servant, the unprofitable servant, be you, because you are not using the talent that God has given you, the spiritual gift, the ability given by the Holy Spirit that is necessary for the functioning of the body. Don't be the unprofitable servant. But the second application that I'd like to look at this evening is taken from chapter 13. Let's read chapter 12, verse 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So now at the end of this discussion that Paul has given of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, he says, covet them. Now there is a commandment, thou shalt not covet. But this is one thing that it's good for you to covet. Because if you are coveting a gift that you can then use for the body, then that is giving back to people. And that is not actually keeping for yourself. It's being profitable for the whole body. So God is completely fine with us trying to build our talents, to work more for the church. But then he also includes this little note, covet earnestly the best gifts, and then there is a more excellent way. What is that more excellent way? It's charity. Chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verses 4 through 10, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And charity, verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why would love be the greatest thing? Greater even than the expression of our gifts. Well, that is, if we do our gifts, if we use our gifts without charity, what value is it? If we use our gifts trotting over every other member in the body while we do so, without love, what value is it? You've put a schism into the body. That's not what Paul is encouraging us to do. He says, use our gifts with love. Love the other members of the body. You remember Jesus said that there are two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. Charity will suffer a lot and will temper our worship, our God-glorifying worship that we do in the body, temper it so that is acceptable and unifying, making us a unified body that works together to accomplish our goal. By using our gifts, we glorify God in our interactions with other believers because we are using the abilities given to us by the Holy Spirit. And when we reach out to others, we glorify God by showing and sharing His love with them in obedience to the Great Commission. So now let's go back to our original point in conclusion, the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever. I think that includes chapter 12, our spiritual gifts. Do all to the glory of God. Are you using your spiritual gifts and abilities? I think that our church does a very good job of this. I don't want that to be a discouragement tonight. I do think we do. Just an encouragement. It is a part of the body of Christ that we use our gifts to encourage each other and build each other up. How can you be using your spiritual abilities to help the body of Christ? Are you holding back something that is helpful for the body? That's a question between you and God. If so, perhaps it is just what the body needs to extend one area of our ministry. And I would encourage you to think about it that way tonight. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to work for the common purpose of glorifying you. And I pray that you would help us to do so as we go from this place tonight and continue in our ministry. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.